Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Men Insights Podcast. This is another mental health awareness episode, and this one I'm going to be talking about the depictions of mental illness in Hollywood, film and television specifically. And I've talked about this a couple times on previous entries in this series, but I wanted to go a little more deeper into that right now. I also got the Mets game on right now while I'm recording this, Sunday afternoon, August the 16th. And yeah, they're losing to the Phillies right now, bottom of the eighth. Anyways, mental health awareness, part six. So you see from the title, like I said, depictions in film and television. And it's because I've always felt like, well, not always, but just as I've learned more and educated myself on mental health and mental illness, I've started to believe that the way it's portrayed in different movies and different television shows, I feel like they're not giving an accurate portrayal of it. You know, at least most of the time, they're not giving it an accurate portrayal. Because for a lot of films and television, they like to, especially on television, in a lot of sitcoms, they like to use mental illness as, you know, as like a punchline, as a source of comedy. And same with certain films. And in other films, that they like to, you know, use mental illness as making people psychotic, which that does happen. They are out there. What really triggered me talking about this kind of stuff was with Avengers Endgame last year with Thor, when, you know, it's the later half of the movie and they're 5 years later, they're going off to retrieve the Infinity Stones, and they travel back to Asgard, and, you know, when Thor Dark World was happening during that timeline, and Thor is, you know, he's fat Thor at this point, and he starts having a panic attack because he doesn't know if he can handle this, and then Rocket slaps him. And I remember when I saw him in the theater, when he slapped him, everyone just started busting out laughing, except me. And sitting there just like, I was so annoyed by that. I mean, I was already annoyed because a little kid that was sitting to my left had his shoes off and put his feet up on the chair, and his feet was right at my side, and it was annoying the fuck out of me. But anyways, just because that Rocket slapped him to snap him out of his panic attack, which you do not want to do in real life, trust me. That just makes the situation much, much worse. But when he did it in the movie, the audience laughed, and, you know, and I would watch videos on YouTube of other people, you know, reacting to scenes in the movie. And that was one of the scenes that I saw that people reacting, and again, every single time, they would laugh. And it annoyed me that he was having a panic attack, which anyone who has had a real panic attack knows that it's not a funny situation at all. And that, like I said, slapping somebody to, you know, try to, you know, snap them out of it does not help. At least in my experience, it does not help. So it just annoyed me so much that I went on a rant about that in a video and podcast that I did last year, where I titled the episode "Mental Illness is Not Comedy," which I guess you can consider the pilot run for my mental health awareness series that I've been doing since May of 2020. And it just, I don't like when mental illness is used for comedic purposes, and that happens so many times. And like even on my favorite show, Boy Meets World, where Corey is diagnosed as a hypochondriac, and video's frozen. There we go. Where Corey Matthews, he's diagnosed as a hypochondriac, and that is a legitimate mental illness where you believe that anything that can go wrong with you, with your health, is what's wrong with you. And that's used as for comedic purposes in so many TV shows that I've watched in my life. And just, again, as I've gotten older, as I have a better understanding of mental illness, and doing my own research and on what's going on, what goes on with mental illness, I do not like it being used that way. Like, again, Boy Meets World is my favorite TV show, and, you know, seeing, you know, something like hypochondria being used in such a manner, yeah, I'll admit, I still laugh at it, Only because, I mean, just it's Boy Meets World's my favorite show, so. Sorry, just again, I have the Mets game in the background. Fucking Phillies. Anyways, just. I wish that, you know, if they're gonna use mental illness in a comedic situation, that they at least educate themselves on how it really goes down, and not just, you know, like, oh, he's crazy, you know, because that's such a it can be a trigger word for some people. Sorry, I got some dust on my lens. And then there's, like, on the flip side, like I said, where they use mental illness as, like, people that the person being psychotic to explain why they're, you know, an evil human being. And a lot movies do that, especially. But then sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm okay with that. Like the movie Split from M. Night Shyamalan, where his mental illness, you know, being that he has multiple personalities, and the 20, I think it's 24 personalities, and the 24th being the Beast. Like, I understand that, because that is that is very much a fantasy world from M. Night Shyamalan, and, you know, and while, like, yeah, I get some people's point of views of, you know, that, oh, it's, you know, a negative light on that disorder, I don't, for that one, that particular one example, I don't see it that way, because having been around people with multiple personality disorder, you know, if I'm, you know, and I actually have been around a lot of these kind of people from different clinics that I've been in recent years, that it, a lot of the times it can happen that way. It can, multiple personality disorder can produce such behaviors as shown in the movie Split, where James McAvoy gives it a phenomenal performance, and I'm a little disappointed it wasn't even considered for award recognition. But that's a whole topic for another podcast. But I did read something a few months ago, or rather I heard it from the Three Buck Theater YouTube channel, where they talked about people wanting Netflix to remove Split from their library because of the depiction of multiple personality disorder in the film. And it's probably because those people don't actually understand multiple personality disorder, which, I mean, generally most of the time when I see people on social media, especially, you know, with the cancel culture, and like, oh, you know, they cancel people for this, cancel people for that. They don't actually know or understand what they're defending. Whereas I do legitimately understand what I'm talking about and what I'm defending when I do these mental illness, you know, podcasts. And top of the ninth, Mets are up. Hopefully we can get something. But anyways, and actually, if people would actually take the time to actually properly educate themselves on such things, wouldn't be so much ignorance in the world. But at the same time, it's, you know, that's how Hollywood has been for a very long time. Hollywood has always been they always go for the stereotype rather than what is actually there. You know, they go for the stereotype of, especially in commercials for depression, and especially one that I've seen recently they call it the bipolar depression, which by the way is actually bipolar disorder is actually manic depressive, completely different from regular depression, where they depict, you know, having depression as, it'll either be just a person standing at the window watching rain, just so sad, I have depression. That's not how it works. And then also this one with the bipolar depression in the commercial, they show the person she's behaving like she's having a panic attack. But in the commercial, they're not describing it as a panic attack. They're describing it as bipolar depression, which, I don't know. I mean. And also this other depression medication commercial where they have the little cardboard cutout of a smiley face where they just have it right there because they're trying to hide what they're really feeling, and then they stuff it in their pocket because they're taking the medication, and it's like the way it's portrayed like that, it's like, oh, you stuff it in the pocket, it's like, oh, so I'm taking this medication that's supposed to help me, but I got this in my back pocket just in case. It's like, that sends such a mixed message to people at home watching these commercials. I guess you could say I'm somewhat easily triggered by such things, because of my own personal experiences with depression and anxiety and panic disorder, and other people that I've spoken to in recent years, and friends that I have who, you know, battle other mental illnesses, learning from their experiences and understanding what they go through. All of that knowledge and all those stories, you know, building up in my head, it starts to weigh a little heavy on me. But just again, like the way mental illness has been portrayed on film and television and for so many years, especially back in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, where we didn't have the knowledge that we have now, though it would always be just, and it's also, this is why people would get misdiagnosed with certain diseases, but, you know, like, they would portray in certain films that, oh, this person, they're just crazy, it's whatever, they're just, oh, that's just Crazy Joe, that's just, you know, whatever, you know, and it's a person that's, again, it would be, like, multiple personality disorder, or they would have, like, you know, mood disorders, or, you know, schizophrenia and such things, and they would portray it in either a funny way where it's like, oh, ha, 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 look how crazy he is, or, oh my god, that guy's a psychopath, he's gonna murder us. Which, yes, there are some individuals out there with these diseases and disorders and conditions that do display such behaviors. But the way Hollywood just puts, like, almost a blanket, you know, the description of it like that out there, just, I do not agree with at all, and I wish that they would do a much better job of presenting these mental illnesses to the audience. And I understand, you know, most of the audience, they don't like to be preached to. They don't want to be taught lessons, you know, with these movies and TV shows, you know, because people, their attention spans are too short for that. I'm not saying that as an insult, because, you know, people, they like to live fast. They like to live fast paced. They want everything, you know. You know, boom, 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 boom. They don't want to wait. You know, that's why, you know, apps like Quibi exist, or Quibi, however it's pronounced. And just because a lot of people don't like to take the time to properly educate and understand these things, and I feel like with the power that film and television has on the world, they should take responsibility on the influence that they have on a lot of people that watch their shows and watch their movies, and try to show people this is what it actually is, not what we want you to believe it is. And I'm saying that's easier said than done, and knowing how Hollywood is, especially, they're never gonna, you know, they're never gonna do that. That's just a fact. You know, well, maybe not a fact, but it's just, you know, history says otherwise. And, I mean, I would love it to be different. I would love if they would actually take the time to educate the audience properly on what's going on with these disorders and diseases. And just also, like, just the way also, like, when it comes to mental illness, the way this country is, the United States especially, is they only care about mental illness when something happens to a celebrity. And that annoys me so much. Like, when a celebrity says, like, oh, I've been battling this, you know, I've been battling depression, or when a celebrity commits suicide and we find out, oh, they've been battling this, this, and this for so many years, that's when it's like, oh, we need to have an open dialogue. I'm sorry, they're showing the cardboard audience, and a couple of the seats had stormtroopers and Chewbacca on them. Yeah, I'm sorry. When it comes to Star Wars, it grabs my attention every time. I mean, hell, just look at my Revenge of the Jedi poster behind me. But anyways, just... Shit, where was I going with that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like I said, when I see something Star Wars related, it gets me. But yeah, the responsibility of Hollywood and how... Because, the power of film and television and... Is that it? That's the end of the game? Ah, fucking Phillies. Yeah, I love my Mets, but fucking Phillies. So let me go ahead and turn that off. But is this the history that Hollywood has had? The displaying and portraying certain these things is not a great track record. And I feel like I'm not even saying anything that's, you know, gonna resonate much with anybody. I feel like I'm not saying anything at all right now, basically. You know, I'm just spewing out empty words. But it's just I do feel very passionate about it. I don't know how well that translates to the people who watch these videos and listen to the podcast. But I just wish that Hollywood actually take the time and the care to properly educate the audience, because the audience, they want things fast-paced, boom, 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 and, you know, that's why when streaming services like Disney Plus and HBO Max, they release their TV shows week by week. You know, a lot of people don't like that. They want to just binge-watch the entire thing in one sitting, you know, but then after you do that, you got nothing else. You know, you binge watch a season of Stranger Things in one weekend. Then after that, what do you got? You got nothing. You know, but yeah, because that's the world we live in. People want just boom, 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 fast pace. They want right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. You know, they don't want to take the time. They don't want to be patient and let it build up and let the stories be told. Which, that can be a whole other podcast in itself, when it comes to wrestling and movies. But just, I feel like Hollywood doesn't understand the influence that it truly has. Oops, sorry, house is shaking, doing laundry, so washing machine makes everything shake. There we go. Yeah, so, if you're watching this on YouTube, and you saw everything shaking, it's not an earthquake, just doing laundry. And, you know, washing machine tends to do that in this house. But I really wonder if Hollywood understands the power and influence that they have on their audience when it comes to these movies and TV shows, that whatever they present, people really take it to heart. Hell, I do, to an extent. You know, they will fight to their dying breath to defend whatever it is that they're a fan of, whether it's Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead or Doctor Who or the MCU, or in my case the DCEU, specifically the Zack Snyder movies. And I feel like, yeah, Hollywood doesn't understand the power and the influence that they have with these stories that they tell on film and television, because especially, and social media is very guilty of that too. Social media, the people who run Twitter and Facebook, especially Facebook, they don't try hard enough to filter out enough of the bullshit and the fake and the truly fake news. You know, because the way people learn stuff these days, they learn it through memes and through posts on Facebook. Like, they see a link from, like, the Babylon Bee or the Onion, or for wrestling fans, Kayfabe News. They don't take the time to see what the website actually is. They just see the headline and they react. You know, that's the world we live in. They see the headlines and they react. Like, one of my favorite ones from the Onion that I remember, that it was after the Harambe incident, when Harambe got shot because the little kid went into the enclosure, that it was a picture from WrestleMania, that it was a picture of a little kid inside of the Hell in a Cell with Big Show, and the headline was, WWE wrestler, you know, put down after a little boy enters steel cage. And I laughed because it was obvious, I knew right away, okay, that is not real and it's hilarious. But seeing people's reactions to it, like, oh, this can't be real, this is bullshit, I don't see that being reported anywhere else. You see, I can go on a whole rant about that, but I'll save that for another podcast. But it's just, my point is, the influence that social media, that films and television have, I don't think they understand just how much power that garners. And when it comes to stuff with mental illness, that the entertainment industry, they have so much power and influence. And they're not using it responsibly enough, in my opinion. Especially with films. Like films, like the MCU, where they, a lot of what is in their movies has a lot of power to the audience, and it grabs the audience right there in the palm of their hands. They eat it all up, and for the majority of the audience, the MCU can do no wrong. I mean, I'm one of the few that, as much as I love all the movies, I also recognize that they're not flawless. But try telling that to an MCU fan on Twitter, they'll eat you alive. But I just wish, again, I feel like what I've been saying for the last 20 plus minutes hasn't really meant anything. I feel like I said, I'm just saying a bunch of indie words. And whoever's watching and listening to this, yeah, thank you. And I hope that what I'm saying has made sense to you. And if it's not, let me know. I just, and again, I'm when it comes to, I'm only going by for movies and TV shows that I've seen because of course, I have not seen every movie and every TV show. I don't think anyone has. So I can't really speak on, older movies from, the era of Gone with the Wind and, Howard Hughes films. And, times change, times evolve. But I feel like as time evolves, and as the audience evolves, for the most part at least, that the presentation should evolve and how we present such serious matters to the audience. Like I would love, and also, I'm gonna talk about the Joker real quick. Everyone already knows I love the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, directed by Todd Phillips. In that film, Arthur Fleck has been battling a lot of mental illnesses and issues, and a lot of that comes from trauma as a child and abuse from his mom and the boyfriends that the mom had as he was growing up. And that stuff happens in real life. Trauma that you experience at a young age has lasting impacts on a lot of people. It has a greater impact than people realize. And someone who, has decided to dedicate their life to mental health awareness and being a mental health advocate, I love the portrayal of mental illness in that movie because I've seen it firsthand with a lot of patients, either that I've treated myself in some of the clinics that I've worked in, or that I've interacted with in the treatment I've received in some of these clinics for my mental illnesses. It is very much an accurate portrayal of what those disorders can do and the impact it can have on not just ourselves but the people around us. And that's why I love that movie so much. Plus, it's a DC movie starring Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. Not the Joker, but Joker. And Joaquin Phoenix is one of my favorite actors, and I was so happy when he won the Oscar for his portrayal in that film. And I think I'm actually gonna watch that again later tonight. But I wish more films like that would try to show and educate people on, this is what this disorder can do to you, and how it can impact your life and impact the people around you. Not where, again, in Avengers Endgame, where Thor is having a panic attack because he's seeing his mom for the first time in so many years after he had witnessed her die many years before that, and he's traveled back to that time period just before she died, and it's messing with his head. Understandably so. It would fuck with my head too. And then to just resolve the situation with snap out of it. No. Like I said, does not actually work in real life. But okay, try explaining that to the MCU shills on Twitter. They'll eat you alive and you don't know comic books. Most of the MCU fanboys and fangirls that I've interacted with they don't understand comic books either, because they've never read a comic book. And that's a whole other podcast I can do another time. Huh, see, I'm just sprouting out ideas of podcasts I can do down the road. Which, you know, I gotta, figure out what I'm gonna do for the next few podcasts, because I got the 100th episode coming up. Right now, this is episode 96 of the regular Minutized Podcast episodes on my little Minutized Podcast network. not sure completely yet what I'm gonna do leading up to it. I already have one other podcast idea in mind. Before I get to the 100th episode, I'll have to figure out the other two. Another good movie that I feel like the portrayed mental health illness in a very, very good way was, I think it's called Awakening, with Robin Williams and Robert De Niro. That was a great movie. And I feel like that portrayed mental illness in a very, very realistic way that is not done as often as it should be. And I would love to see more of that. Actually, let me look it up just to be sure that is the movie I'm thinking of. Williams. Awakenings, yeah, from 1990. That's a great movie, too. Like I said, if you've never seen it, it's a great movie. But then again, Robin Williams, even if the movie is bad, he's always the best part of it. I'm pretty sure nobody in Hollywood who has any power or influence is going to be watching or listening to this. But if by chance somebody is, and I want you to hear my words and hear my pleas please give more accurate portrayals and depictions of mental illness, because I'm tired of people being so misinformed, miseducated, and misunderstanding of mental illnesses. Please, 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 Hollywood. Hollywood is too busy with their pedophilia scandals and all that other bullshit that pisses me off as well. But, can you also take care of this? That's alright, though, because I'm just one YouTuber, and not a very popular one at that. one guy with one podcast. And the analytics show that I'm being, checked out by people all over the world, from the United States to Canada, so the United Kingdom, parts of Lithuania and Ireland, and let me look at this just to see, because there's a lot of areas in this world that I'm actually surprised that I'm being checked out by. Yeah, United States, Ireland, Canada, United Kingdom, India, Indonesia, Austria, Turkey, Thailand, Norway, Italy, Belgium, Trinidad and Tobago. I've developed quite the audience, and since I've had this podcast for 2 years. I'm gonna just cut it off right there. So, yeah. Anyone in Hollywood that happens to be listening and watching this, please do your part. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Minutized Podcast. I hope you all enjoyed watching and listening to me ramble on for the last 28, 9, whatever minutes that I've been going. Let me see, the counter says 28. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe to the Minutized Podcast right here on YouTube, or on, if you want the audio-only version, it's Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. All the direct links to those will be in the description for this episode, so you can subscribe to any or all of them if you'd like to. And also, support me on my Patreon if you, want to help out my Hall of Justice or Fortress of Solitude. I'm not sure which nickname I'm going to stick with. For $1 a month, just $1 a month. And if you don't want to do that, you can also check out my Minutized Podcast store. I have a lot of fun and cool designs that I've designed myself or I've had help with from some friends. And especially if you're a Zack Snyder fan, I've got quite a few Zack Snyder designs on there. Sold quite a few of them recently as well, so thank you to those people who've been purchasing my shirts and face masks that are available on there as well for each design. Yeah, I have face masks, t-shirts, tank tops, sweaters, hoodies, children's sizes for some of them, masks. Yes, I already said mask. phone cases, pillow cases, stickers, magnets, pins. You know, just pick, click a design. The links for the Patreon and store will be in the description. Click a design. See what options are on the bottom of the page. So see, you know, coffee mugs, you know, I have on there too. So, yeah. And if you'd like to share an idea, any ideas for merchandise that you'd like to hear me have on my store, any t-shirt designs, or whatever, you can do so by checking me out on my social media. All the links will be in the description below for my Twitter, my Instagram, my Vero. And if you want to check out my wrestling page that's on Facebook, Down for the Count, you can that link is in the description as well. And also, for, you know, like I said, the 100th episode of the Minute Tights Podcast is coming up, so, and I was actually thinking I can do a Q&A episode for that one. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it live or pre-recorded, because my schedule with the job that I have, you know, I don't really have a lot of free time. Like, today was my only day off this week, so, you know, I decided to go ahead and record this for you guys. But, you know, you can do so again on my social media. All the links are down below. You can send me whatever questions that you'd like to hear me, you know, answer on that 100th episode. So, until then, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, and for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly and genuinely do. And this has been the Minute Tights Podcast. I am Julian. I hope you all are taking care of yourselves and your loved ones and staying healthy. And I will see you all on the next podcast.